I'm Jackie.
I'm Gina.
Welcome to Bold Leap, where we focus on capturing the raw, authentic narratives of people like you
who took a bold leap to pursue their dreams. If you're struggling with how to make it happen and how to get started,
or maybe you just need a seed of inspiration,
then we invite you to take the bold leap.
Like, subscribe, and follow.
We have Tanya Carrier-Hicks joining us today. Keep listening as we explore Tanya's bold leap on how to find beauty and meaning without confining yourself to one story. I got one story about my hair. You may like it. However, you know how you're getting your products and you don't pay attention and you grab this container of whatever. I grabbed my container of mousse or hair root lifter only to find after I had sprayed it all over, it was the hairspray on my wet hair. So,
okay. Yeah. It is a little different today.
It is. It's a little.
But it looks really good.
Well,
I like how it sticks out like that.
And yeah, that's not on purpose.
Just kidding. Your hair always looks good. It does.
Do you have a beauty style or routine that you keep to? I thought I did until today.
You
I
know, back
the
in
product.
The day, I did, but no. If I can just shower and do something, I'm good. What about you?
Well, like I said, I thought I did until today. I grabbed the wrong product. Yes. I mean, I have products that I like. We're not giving any names because nobody's sponsoring us. Sponsor us and we'll use your name.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I have products that I like, but I'm not so tied to a product that I wouldn't try something new.
Yeah. Do you, this is interesting. So when you shop for products, is it based on price or recommendations or celebrity influence? How do you decide?
Price or someone says, oh, try this, try that kind of celebrity influence. No, not so much.
No.
No. Mm-mm. Like if my stylist is using something and I like how it looks or, you know, you've said, oh, try this or that kind of thing,
Right.
But no, I'm not listening to whoever promote whatever.
Moira from Schitt's Creek, you don't.
Well, maybe her, I might.
Yeah. She's my go-to.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, well, we have a guest here who might be able to help us with that today.
Good Lord.
Okay. So Tanya Carrier-Hicks, recognized from her roles in films like Ballywicks and Selling Stupid, is much more than just an actress. Her impressive career spans various roles in the entertainment industry, including being a filmmaker, producer, director, and hair and makeup artist. Currently based in Michigan, she balances her time between her work as a hair and makeup artist, an educator, and her involvement in independent film projects and vegan advocacy. In our conversation today, Tanya is going to share her unique journey of embracing a multifaceted career in the art of fulfillment and pursuing diverse interests, both on and off the big screen. Welcome to the Boldly Podcast.
Wow. Hi.
Wow. Hi.
That was a great intro. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being here. We're really excited because we haven't really talked to anybody that has gotten into the film industry, especially here in Michigan. It's not something you really hear a lot about.
Although years ago, we thought that we would because Michigan had the initiative.
Mm-hmm. Right. With the big tax.
The tax break, and then what happened? It didn't go through.
Yeah.
Is that how you got started?
It actually isn't. I'm usually on smaller kind of budget films. I've worked here and there as an extra and even did some hair and makeup on larger projects. But as far as like the ones that I make are really low budget films, so they're like passion projects.
But let me ask you this. Did you start out in the hair business, and is that what led you to the film? Like, how did this whole connection happen?
Gosh, when I was a kid, I just, like everybody, we just love movies and their dreams like on screen and you just get so excited by watching films. And I always wanted to, I always wondered, what would it be like to do hair and makeup on a film? I never even took this bold leap to even mention that I wanted to work in film because I just thought it was such a far-fetched kind of a thing. Nobody in my family had any ties to anything. And I just thought there's no way. So I started doing hair and makeup. That's been my career. That's still my bread and butter. It's still what I do every day.
Which, by the way, your hair and makeup is great.
Thanks. Oh, thank you so much. So I just started doing hair for such a long time. And then I knew that there was a little film industry in Detroit. But by that time, I had moved about an hour and a half north in Saginaw. And I just had this opportunity one time where a friend of mine came into town from New York. And he said he was going to work on a film in Peoria, Illinois. And it was an indie film. And I was like, well, I want to do hair and makeup. That's what I've always dreamt of. And he was like, well, what are you going to do? Close your business for a month? And I said, yes, whatever. Well, that was pushed back about close to a year. And during that time, I had owned a business, a salon, and I just didn't want to do it anymore. I wanted to live smaller and just kind of find myself. And so as luck would have it, by the time the film actually started filming, I did go do hair and makeup on it. And it was the craziest experience, because a lot of independent films, and then big budget films, have the budget to have 50 people on crew, and it's more organized. It's more, everybody stays to their own departments. But this film was not like that. It was crazy. It was completely a lesson in like how not to make a movie. It was completely, but you know, you learn so much when you see something going horribly wrong around you. You can start like plugging in like what should be done differently. It was a great learning experience, and I met some friends that I will keep forever from that experience, and it was really fun and just the craziest time. And so I became friends with my friend Susie. She was an actress in Chicago. And so she kept bringing me in after that experience, because she was like, I want you to come and do my hair and makeup for this project. I want you to come and do this.
Oh, wow.
And then she also started booking me for like acting jobs at the same time, which I didn't know what I was doing or anything. And
so
and
you didn't take any acting lessons or anything like that?
I took about two.
Okay.
Which is actually how I met the lead for another film that we can talk about in a minute if you want, for Bailiwick. But I just kind of started like, because I had this like slight little in, I just was like, let's just see where this goes and say yes to everything. And also started really working on fear at that point, because I was absolutely, I don't want to say deathly afraid, but I was so afraid.
What were you afraid of?
Oh my gosh. I don't think anybody would describe me as shy or introverted, but I really am. Like it's my natural state is that.
Okay.
And so I think like there was one acting role that I had, and I really had, looking back, I'm like, I had no business to take this role, but I auditioned and they loved the audition that I sent in. And when I got to the set, oh my goodness, I was so afraid. I had dry mouth. I couldn't make my legs move to like walk me to the set. And I just remember there was this moment that will always stick with me. And it was like a fork in the road. And it was like, I am so, because I didn't grow up like extroverted actor, like I want to be in theater. I didn't do any of that. And so I'm on this set and I'm going to go, like they want me to act. And I'm like, what on earth am I doing here?
And
right
you
now?
Said yes
horrible.
To it.
Yes. But I remember standing there and I remember looking off. It was outside. And I remember looking off and I was like, how far can I run before they realize I'm gone? Like how far can I get? It was horrible. And I remember at that moment, like I said, something changed in me, and it really, I think about it all the time. It was a fork in the road, and to the left was yes, and I'm going to do it. And to the right was I can't do it. And I decided to go left. And I'm so happy that I did, because I realized, like, I just thought to myself, like, whatever I choose right this minute is what I'm going to choose next time I'm in a fork.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, if you shoot left, I'm going to keep shooting left. I'm just going to remember that, because I didn't think anything could get worse at that moment. And it really wasn't even that big of a deal.
So when you say shooting left, if you said yes.
If I said yes, I was going to shoot yes. I was going to do it next time, too. And if I did no, I was going to say no next time, too.
Oh, wow.
And so it just really hit me in a really profound way.
Yeah.
So I did it. I didn't do a good job. I didn't do, you know what I mean?
But you did it.
Yeah. And I think that was really my important thing, where I was like, that just stuck with me forever. And so next time I remember I was in that fork in the road situation, it wasn't 100% fear. It was 90% fear. And then the next time it was 80% fear.
Really?
So less fear each time and less
advice.
Desire to run.
Yes.
Because let's be honest, who wants to run?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. And I just remember that was just a really profound experience for me. So I just remember thinking, like, that's just something that sticks with me forever. And I just want to share that because I love your podcast. I love what you guys stand
for. Thank you.
The whole concept of a bold leap is so important, because you just don't want to keep, you don't want to go to the right. You don't want to keep going and saying no to things that you have opportunities
for. Well, and I've never heard anybody put it that way. That's really profound, to sit and think, okay, if I make this decision, I'll always make this decision. Mm-hmm. But if I make this other decision, I'm always going to, I never thought about
no,
that.
No, I didn't either. And it's a great analogy to think about other things in life. When you want to start a project, or you want to start a new exercise or eating regime or anything. Like, if I always do this way, then I'm never going to do the other way. So it's a great, you know, philosophy for someone to follow. So
thank you
for sharing that with
thanks.
Us.
Yeah.
So how
I think
did
it's
it,
really applicable to anything too.
I think that it is too. Yeah.
So how did it go from, so you started doing these parts. So how did it go from you decide you're going to start producing your own films?
I think I was looking, at like comedies that had lead actresses, like women in story-based comedies instead of men. I kept thinking, like, I think it was around Christmas time, and I was asking this bunch of girls that I was with. I was like, what are your favorite comedy movies, like just in general? And not one of them had a female lead. They were like The Hangover and all these different, mm-hmm. you know, and I was like, why are they all like the girl funny things like that are about women's stories? And at that point, I don't even know where who knows where the idea came from, but I just decided I wanted to make a short film called Selling Stupid, and it was about two girls that worked at an advertising agency, and the idea started growing, and I wrote it with my best friend, Amy Austin, and also, so we started snowballing the idea, and then it became a feature, and I had worked on another project that was horrible, but again, good people came out of this bad experience, mm-hmm. so I met my friend, an actress, Ronnie Jonah from Kentucky, and she and I have worked together numerous times now. She's my work wife. Yep. So she came on Selling Stupid, and we were both the leads in that, and we had a great time, and so we've been working together ever since.
So did you write the script, mm-hmm. though? Like, yeah. you did everything with that?
Yeah.
Wrote it, produced it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to go back, though, to something. Like, how did you know how to do it? How did you know how to get it out there? And how did you know how to write a script?
That's so cute that you thought we knew how to do it. That's adorable.
She went left.
Yeah. I love it.
She went left.
Okay, but this is a really important part of our show because so many people have great ideas, mm-hmm. and they just don't know how to start. They think they have to have all the answers, mm-hmm. and all the direction ahead, right in front of them before they get started. So you're saying, nope, I didn't know.
Well, I went over to Amy's house and I asked her, like, are you interested in starting, like, let's try to write a story. We really didn't know what was going on. Now, Ronnie had more writing experience, so she filled in with a lot of the dialogue and stuff like that. But Amy and I just simply sat down. And again, this might not be applicable to other people. And some people just have a great writing skill. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I've pretty much only written things that I've brought to film. So I'm really not a writer except for the projects that I want to make. So for me, it just plays out like a movie in my head first. Oh. So Amy and I sat there and we just talked about these girls, like who they are and like what their story is. And we decided that they worked at an advertising agency and they were like, the guys were the bad guys. And they had to get, like they had a really mean boss and the boss pit them against the girls versus the guys. And they had a new campaign and the boss was trying to get rid of the girls and stuff. So we just did this all like on Post-its and we decided to like write it out on Post-its and sort of put it together.
Kind of like a storyboard type thing?
Yes. Yep. Just like that. Yep. And then the thing is we were making it ourselves. It was very low budget. I think it was like, you know, maybe $12,000 to $15,000 to make the whole thing. But by this time I had already worked for free and paid on numerous projects because I was saying yes to anything that I could say, be it an acting job or a hair and makeup job. I just wanted to get experience and I wanted to sort of gather some of my favorite people at this point. I was meeting, like I would go to a set and like maybe I'd meet this person, like I want to work with this person again. And I would just kind of put them in my, you know, back pocket here or something like, oh, maybe someday something will come up where I can work with this person. Yeah. And so for when we made Selling Stupid, luckily I already had like a bunch of people in mind. So I tend to write with somebody in mind already because I do have a lot of actors that I know. But as far, how we started, I don't really know. But during this time, a very important person in my life is my cameraman, Rick Moreau. So he's a photographer and I also, he started doing video kind of with me. So he was kind of new, but now we've been doing it again, you know, like for 12 or so years together. We've done a lot of projects together and he's always been really inspirational and really like encouraging to me to like, you can do it. And like, he always points out that even when I, maybe if I'm not feeling so successful or something, he'll point out to me like, you've made 5 feature films and like 5 short films and a documentary and stuff. So he's always the one to remind me that, like, you know, success looks different on everybody. Some people it's just money, but other people it's like you can just accomplish things and set out.
You did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, there are different levels of filmmaking, obviously. There's all kinds of $1 million projects and then there's smaller projects. But I think for somebody who's trying to start off in this, I think something that, you know, I would recommend a lot of different things. They should, you know, maybe try to work out in their life where they were able to work on a project and even volunteer their time to sort of see what it's like. Because when you're in the middle of that environment, you can really pick up, like I said about the first experience I had, you can really pick up what's wrong. And like, you're like, well, this is not how I would do things, you know?
Right.
So I think that would be one thing I would sort of recommend to some people is.
Yeah, because it sounds like you really put yourself in all these different situations, whether it was on stage or behind the scenes, or, and doing hair and makeup just so you can learn and absorb everything that was going on around you.
That's exactly what I did. Yeah.
What what's the scene like in Michigan, though? Like for somebody who does want to get into either being an actress or actor, whatever.
I think that's a really good question, because I think it there's a variety of things here, but I think we all know, you know, we all know like the big industries are Atlanta and Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, you know, like, so
kind of like the music scene.
And if you go there, you're going to, you know, you can go there with that added, and this is just from me too. So I know there's going to be a lot of people that might not agree with me.
That's okay.
But just has been my experience where I, because I think I really wanted to learn before I put myself out there. It's really important for me with anything that I do to not oversell, but also try to be, try to appropriately say who I am and what I can do, but also not oversell. Like I don't want to, you know, so for me, I wanted to get some experience and confidence before, you know, doing anything like that. So for me, I would recommend to somebody if they were looking to get their feet wet with anything, be it crew or acting, there are a lot of opportunities in Michigan to work on indie films, and they are going to be smaller, smaller budget, smaller things like that, and try to like just get yourself out there. There's a lot of Facebook pages for film, and you can just kind of go on there and just put yourself out there. And but I would recommend to like try to put some time aside of your hobby time when you're not working. And I know that it's hard to say like you can go spend your day on a film set without getting paid. I know that that's not feasible for every single person, but that was one thing that I had to do. I had to sort of arrange my life so that I could afford to go do these things. You know, like I had to make my life smaller so that I could not have crazy outrageous bills so that I could do this. So there were sacrifices like that, you know, that I made.
Which there always are for something you want.
What's a piece of advice you got when you were first starting out that really made a difference, good or bad, but something that you you have not forgotten?
Bold Leap is produced by Podcast Nation. To learn more, visit us at podcastnation.com.
I think probably my cameraman, Rick, who I said, like, he has just always been like that I could do it and like not to think twice about it. Even when I was like, what do you mean I can do it? I have no idea what, how to make a movie, or I have no idea, whatever. I remember I was trying to find a director for Selling Stupid, and he was like, you're not going to direct, what do you mean? You can direct it yourself. Do it yourself. What are you talking about? You know, he almost like, you know, acted like, of course you can do it. So I think, I wouldn't want to do something that was going to cause a lot of people to waste their time. That's kind of like, I'm pretty efficient when it comes to filmmaking. Like I like to break things down and really, I like to, as a director, I like to get to set as prepared as I possibly can be. Now you, it's an artistic venue, so you can't, you know, there's always going to be things that come up, but I think me as a director, if I'm going to show up and be as prepared as I possibly can be, then I'm not wasting people's time. I'm not being rude to other people when they have given their time freely to be there, or it, sometimes they're paid, sometimes they're not. But so I think just the fact that he, you know, if you don't have anybody telling you that you can do it, like you have, to, you have to tell yourself that you can. But I am very lucky that like, I'll always thank Rick for believing in me and just kind of being like, you know, like a big brother figure to me to like tell me, of course you can do it. What are you doing?
You know? Now, do you shop your scripts? Does it work like that? Like I know with music, you know, musicians shop their music and they get sync deals and licensing and stuff like that.
Well, that's the thing. Okay. So again, like I said, I am going to be, honest and transparent, is that like the business side, like that is one thing that if I could go back, that's one thing that I would probably hit harder and with more confidence. And also I would probably, I have spent so much of my time delving into the creative aspect of like how to do things that the business side, you know, a lot of people who are creative are not necessarily the best business minded people sometimes. So for me, that is, that's why we just decided Odell is going to be my producer. My husband Odell here, who's sitting across the room, he's going to be my, what'd you say? My, my publicist. Yeah. He's going to be, he's going to be my manager, my publicist from now on.
Well, you know, it's hard as a creative when you're actually doing the creative stuff to it's hard to try and do the business side too.
Yes.
It's like you have to have a team of people that can do, you know, help in those areas. I see it with musicians, just really difficult.
Yes, that's definitely it. And then, so that, while I kind of beat myself up a little bit for not being the best business-minded person, I also can look at my work in the beginning and I see that it's really come a far, you know, it's come a far way.
So which is great.
That, thank you. The things that I'm making now are different from what we made a few years ago. So the quality of them, my editing has gotten stronger.
That's great.
My direct directing has gotten stronger, where I can really go to a set now and know what I need. Like, and we don't really waste time with getting a lot of shots that we know we're not going to use in editing. So I feel like my confidence has definitely grown with that. But yeah, as far as the business side, that's, I mean, you know, my I've got some films on YouTube for free, and like we were, he
and those
I were
are which two?
Bailiwick and Selling Stupid. So Bailiwick is a fantasy driven kind of magic-y sort of about a guy who gets handed a magic book that has some magic tricks in it, but he doesn't realize how much it's going to change his life. Mm. And that stars Dan Garrix, who's a really great actor from Flint. So I'm really glad that he came out and was such a big part of it.
And what does Bailiwick mean?
It means something that you're interested in. So this guy, John, just a normal, unassuming man, minding his own business, but he gets picked on a lot by work and he just wants to be accepted. His bailiwick is magic. So he uses this magic book that a sort of strange guy gives him, and it changes his life.
Oh, that sounds really interesting.
Selling Stupid is about?
That's about the girls that work for the advertising agency. And that's like my first feature that I ever made. And so that stars Ronnie Jonah and myself. And then I can literally say a crazy cast of characters, because we weren't, you know, it's sort of a road trip movie almost, where we go interview all these people as to why they like video games so much, because we can't figure this out, because this is what our campaign is given to us about video games and we know nothing about them. So we just keep meeting person after person because we're just trying to figure out how to do this campaign that we're doing at work. So,
and these are both free on YouTube. Mm-hmm. We'll leave links with our post. Mm-hmm. We'll leave links to those. Yeah.
Right.
What's next on this journey?
I'm editing very soon. I'm waiting for the snow to fall. So as soon as the snow falls, I can start hiding away in my bedroom and start editing a new film that we just shot a few months ago. And over the last couple of years, I've shot movies for other people. So I had three different people approach me, and they had scripts, and so they didn't know what to do. So they were shopping around, and they found me. So one of them was called That Wasn't Supposed to Happen, which is a full-length feature comedy about like some 27-year-old guys who are coming back to town after graduating from high school 10 years ago, and they all meet up to go to a party, and it's this crazy film, and we had a lot of fun making it. And then on the complete other side of that, there was a movie called Sunshine Circle that we made, and that was about the 1960s. A young girl gets burned accidentally by her mom and spends a lot of time in the hospital. And so this was a true story written like 15 years ago by Marcia Reeves in Saginaw, and she had been really wanting to make it into a movie for years. And I'm so glad that our paths crossed, because that was a great experience, that whole thing, telling her story. And then we also made a documentary about two families that were affected by severe, horrible drug use. And they both were able to get themselves cleaned up and how their lives changed. So that was what I made before that. I made a short film called The Ceremony, and that was just about a year ago. So that's kind of doing festivals and stuff right now. But so finally I got to do a short film that was all mine. So it's called I Appreciate You, and it's just going to be a short. So I'll probably do some film festivals and stuff like that, but that's waiting to be edited. So it's all shot. It's all in the can, just freshly shot.
How many do you do in a year? That seems probably like a lot of movies that you've got.
I pretty much always have something going, you know? So that's kind of like where we are with I Appreciate You just now, you know, with and also still doing hair. And
you're an educator too, aren't you?
I used to be, for Pravana Hair Color. Yeah. Okay. So I got to travel around with them. That was a great time, like about 9 years ago, actually. So I haven't been for quite a while. That went by really fast. But I was an educator with them for a while, and then I broke my ankle and crushed it, and just was like, it was between being an educator and working full time and then trying to heal. I wanted to make Selling Stupid. During that time, I was like, something has to go. This is too much. And I had already had like a really good run with Pravana. I was on the show team and like really loved it. And I just was like, I just felt like something had to go, you know? So I wanted to make the movies and sort of switch gears and start doing that. So,
But what part do you love the most? Is it the writing? Is it the producing? Is it getting everyone together? Or is it being the actress on stage?
I think the directing part is really is like my thing, because you really get to pull performances out of people, especially if I wrote it myself. I guess I like it either way. I guess I like figuring out the characters and trying to make the actors understand what we're trying to get from them. Mm-hmm. And then I've worked with people who have had zero experience and have been extremely nervous on set. Mm. And then I've worked with like literal pros who just come in and give you so much more than you could imagine.
Wow.
So it's really fun to like, you know, pull that from them. Again, I try to be as prepared as possible, because the more prepared I am when I get to a set to start shooting something, then when those little magic, you know, you always hear people like magic happens on set or whatever. When that happens and I already have an idea of like the road that we're going to take and like exactly what I want, the more I know what I want, if somebody does something a little bit off, we can grab it and pull it in, and like I'm prepared, but I can like, we can sort of use that, you know? Okay. So when somebody brings something mm-hmm. really interesting to the set, something will click. And that's just how my brain works. I'm kind of type A. So like if I'm prepared, I'm allowed to like let something else in, you know?
Yeah. Do you get excited when it's all done to watch it, or are you nervous watching the whole finished product for the first time?
I think this is going to go with your podcast of like, because I'm going to say like accepting yourself too, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think that life is too, that's so easy to like beat yourself up about that. I mean, it's so easy to do that. I just can't live like that, where I have to sort of try to see the good in it, and I have to just kind of go with it, because you could just drive yourself crazy. You could drive yourself so mad about that you don't even have fun with it anymore. And I don't want to do that. I want to have fun with it.
That's great. So you go in with that mindset mm-hmm. to watch it and not look for everything that's wrong,
yes.
but look for everything that was good and right. Good.
Yeah,
that's
perfect.
But I mean,
it's a struggle. I don't go in there just completely like, you know, full of myself or anything, but.
Because I think you have to have a little bit of the other too. Just to constantly improve.
Yes. Yeah. I definitely see the mistakes for sure. But there just comes a time where I can't really be a perfectionist with things, because I think, like, you know, you have to get to a point where you are able to be done with something, too.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tanya, this was awesome. It was so interesting. Give us a little behind the scenes of the top three ways that you spend your time in order to keep your filmmaking going, you're on top of your business. Like, what do you have to do? What do you have to make sure that you're working on all the time?
This is going to be for everybody, but personally, my life has to be organized. Like, I have to have, like, you know, my surroundings kind of have to be organized, because otherwise I have a really hard time focusing on what I'm trying to do. I'm just like, the laundry needs to be done or whatever,
right.
you know?
Well, here's the thing. This question is not a right or wrong answer, mm-hmm. and it's not going to apply to everybody, but it's really about, we're curious, like, with you. Mm-hmm. How do you do it? Mm-hmm. So organization is great.
It just helps me, like, focus then on what mm-hmm. I'm trying to do instead of my mind being all over the place.
Right.
This is like a therapy session, isn't it? We're getting some good therapy, you guys.
We think so. For us,
send
anyway.
Me the bill
you don't
after.
Know that. No, it's for us. Oh, yeah, but we're glad you think it's for you.
So I found minimalism a bunch of years ago, and that kind of helped. Like, there's different levels of minimalism. Like, but that was one thing that helped me, because of money, to be frank, to be able to occasionally work on a project. And again, like I said, take the time out of your week or whatever, when maybe I would feel like I needed to work and make money or whatever. It just kind of helped me get my life again organized, so that I was able to have the time to go do a project like this, go away for a weekend and go work on something that maybe I wasn't getting paid for, but maybe it was part of my education on this like filmmaking journey.
So you've made that where it's become part of your life.
Yeah, trying to. Well, I mean, my husband would disagree when he sees my jewelry and clothing collection.
He's going, what's minimalism?
Right. She gave that up when she married me, that's for sure. Yeah. But I also think on like self-care, just making sure like I'm in the right mindset, because something that I'm realizing, it's just hard to. Like, it's just rest, getting enough rest and like doing that kind of thing, because I just can't think straight if I'm really exhausted. Yeah. I can't be productive. So those are things that are
That's great. That is great. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing and for being so open. I love how you were talking about the different films and stuff that you did, and you would say, that was a bomb, that was terrible, that was horrible. It was like, okay, well, you seem to have a great relationship with what people call failure.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, sometimes the only mode of transportation available is a bold leap. Comment and share this episode. Thanks for listening, and be bold.